Welcome to your OCR GCSE Art and Design Study podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving deep into one of the most exciting and challenging topics on the specification, sculpture. That's topic 2.3. Whether you're just starting your portfolio or you're in the final push before your supervised time, this episode is going to give you everything you need to understand what examiners are looking for and how to absolutely nail it. So grab a sketchbook, maybe a cup of tea, and let's get into it. First, let's set the scene. Sculpture in the OCR GCSE is all about working in three dimensions. You're not just making something that looks good from the front, you're creating an object that exists in real space with volume, mass, and form that the viewer can walk around. That shift from two-dimensional thinking to three-dimensional realization is at the heart of everything you'll be assessed on. And here's the key thing. It's not just about the final piece. OCR wants to see the entire journey from your very first research into artists and sculptors all the way through to your finished work. Now let's talk about the four assessment objectives, because these are your roadmap. Each one is worth exactly 25% of your marks, so you cannot afford to neglect any of them. Assessment objective one is about developing your ideas through contextual and cultural research. In sculpture, this means engaging critically with the work of key sculptors. We're talking about artists like Barbara Hepworth, Henry Moore, and Rachel Whiteread. But here's what separates a good response from a great one. Examiners want analysis, not biography. Telling me that Barbara Hepworth was born in Wakefield in 1903 earns you zero marks. Telling me that Hepworth's use of the void, the pierced hole through the center of her forms, creates a dialogue between interior and exterior space, and that this directly inspired your own exploration of negative space in your clay maquette, that is what gets you marks. The question to always ask yourself is, how does this artist's work inform my work? Assessment objective two is about experimenting with and refining your skills, techniques, and processes. In sculpture, this is where you show your technical range. Have you tried coil building in clay? Have you experimented with wire armatures? Have you attempted plaster casting or assemblage? The word the examiner is looking for in your annotation is refined. You tried something, it didn't quite work, you identified why, you adjusted your approach, and you improved. That iterative process, try, reflect, refine, is what AO2 is all about. And critically, you need to document it. If you build a maquette and then cover it in plaster, photograph it first. If you try a joining technique that fails, keep the evidence and annotate what went wrong and what you did differently next time. Assessment objective three is recording your ideas, observations, and insights. Now, for sculpture, this goes way beyond drawing. Yes, you should have observational drawings of your source material, but you should also have multi-angle studies of your maquettes, front, side, back, three-quarter view. You should have technical diagrams showing how your armature is constructed, how your joints are made, how your form is built up. Think of AO3 as your visual thinking on the page. It's the evidence that you've genuinely looked, genuinely thought, and genuinely understood the spatial relationships in your work. Assessment objective four is presenting a personal and meaningful response. This is your final piece, and it needs to do two things simultaneously. Demonstrate technical competence, and show a clear visual and conceptual link back to your research and development. Examiners call this the journey. If your final sculpture looks completely different from everything in your sketchbook, you've lost the thread and you'll lose marks. The strongest responses show an organic, logical development from initial inspiration through to final realization. Your final piece should feel like the inevitable conclusion of your creative journey, not a surprise. Now let's talk about the key practitioners you need to know in depth. Barbara Hepworth, 1903 to 1975, is essential. She was a British abstract sculptor associated with the St. Ives School of Modern Art. Her most famous works include the Pelago series and the Single Form. What makes Hepworth so relevant to your studies is her exploration of the relationship between form and space. She famously said that the whole in the sculpture is as important as the mass itself. Her use of biomorphic forms, organic, flowing shapes inspired by the natural landscape of Cornwall, and her incorporation of string to suggest tension and movement across the void are techniques you can directly reference and respond to in your own work. Henry Moore, 1898 to 1986, is another giant of British sculpture. His reclining figure series, which he returned to throughout his career, explores the human form in relation to landscape. Moore was deeply influenced by pre-Columbian sculpture and African art, and his work has a monumental, earthy quality. For your AO1, you should be able to discuss how Moore's manipulation of mass and void, his use of bronze and stone, and his interest in the relationship between figure and ground can inform your own sculptural decisions. Rachel Whiteread, born 1963, brings a completely different approach. She is famous for casting the negative space of everyday objects and architectural spaces, the inside of a room, the space under a chair, the interior of a hot water bottle. Her work, Ghost and House, are landmark pieces of late 20th century sculpture. Weidereit is particularly useful for students exploring casting techniques, and her conceptual approach, the idea that absence can be made present, offers rich territory for annotation and analysis. You might also consider Antoni Gormley, whose work with the human body as a sculptural form, particularly in pieces like Angel of the North and the Field series, raises fascinating questions about scale, material, and the relationship between sculpture and its environment. Now let's move on to the technical vocabulary you absolutely must use in your annotations and any written responses. Using precise terminology is one of the quickest ways to signal to an examiner that you know your subject. Form refers to the three-dimensional quality of a sculptural object, its volume and mass in space. Volume is the amount of three-dimensional space a sculpture occupies. Negative space is the empty space around and within a sculpture that is just as important as the solid mass. Maquette is a small-scale preliminary model used to explore form and composition before making the final piece. Armature is the internal skeleton or framework, often made from wire or metal, that supports a sculpture during construction. Additive processes involve building up material, for example, coil building in clay or welding in metal. Subtractive processes involve removing material, for example, carving stone or wood. Casting is the process of pouring liquid material into a mold to create a solid form. Assemblage is the technique of combining found objects or mixed media into a sculptural composition. Relief sculpture sits against a background and projects outward rather than being fully three-dimensional in the round. And patina refers to the surface texture or color that develops on a material over time or is artificially applied. Now, let's talk exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. The number one mistake is producing a final piece that is disconnected from the preparatory work. Your sketchbook and your final sculpture need to tell the same story. If you've spent weeks researching Hepworth's use of organic form and the void, your final piece should clearly reflect that. Examiners should be able to look at your portfolio and your final piece side by side and see an obvious logical connection. The second big mistake is poor photographic documentation. I cannot stress this enough. Sculpture is a process. Art, you build, you modify, you cover, you transform. Once a stage is gone, it's gone. You must photograph every significant stage under good lighting, from multiple angles. Bad photos with harsh shadows or single-angle shots lose you marks in both AO2 and AO3. Set up a proper photography station with neutral background and even lighting. It takes 10 minutes, and it can be the difference between a grade boundary. The third mistake is superficial annotation. Writing, "I used clay because it was available," is not annotation. It's description. Strong annotation analyses the effect of your choices. I chose clay for this stage because its plasticity allowed me to achieve the organic, flowing surface quality I observed in Hepworth's Pelagos. The material's responsiveness to my hands enabled an intuitive shaping process that I felt was more authentic to my concept than a more rigid medium would have allowed. That is annotation. It references an artist, it explains a material choice in terms of its properties, and it links technique to concept. The fourth mistake is neglecting the armature. If you're working in clay at any scale above about 15 centimeters, you need an armature. Wire, foil, or a wooden framework inside your clay will prevent collapse during construction and cracking during drying. Structural failure in the final piece is devastating, and it's almost always preventable. Now for your quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask the questions, you pause and answer in your head, then I'll give you the answer. Question 1. What does AO1 assess in OCR GCSE Art and Design? Pause. The answer is developing ideas through contextual and cultural research. Specifically, critical engagement with artists and movements that directly informs your own work. Question 2. Name 3 key sculptors relevant to this topic and 1 key concept associated with each. Pause. You should have said something like Hepworth, the void and negative space. Moore, the relationship between figure and landscape, mass and form. Weidereit, casting negative space, making absence visible. Question 3. What is the difference between additive and subtractive sculpture processes? Pause. Additive means building up material, such as clay coil building. Subtractive means removing material, such as carving stone. Question 4. Why is the maquette important for both AO2 and AO3? Pause. For AO2, it demonstrates experimentation and refinement of form before committing to the final piece. For AO3, it provides a three-dimensional record of your developmental thinking that goes beyond two-dimensional drawing. Question 5. What is the most common reason candidates lose marks in AO4? Pause. Producing a final piece that is disconnected from the preparatory research and development, failing to show the creative journey. Right, let's bring it all together with a quick summary and some final advice. Sculpture at GCSE is your opportunity to demonstrate a genuinely sophisticated understanding of three-dimensional form, material, and space. The candidates who score in the top bands are those who treat every stage of the process as equally important, from the first artist analysis in the sketchbook to the final photograph of the completed piece. Remember the four AOs and their equal weighting: develop, experiment, record, present. Use the memory hook DRP, develop, experiment, record, present, to keep all four in mind as you work. Document obsessively. Photograph everything. Annotate analytically, not descriptively. Always link your technical choices back to your artistic intentions and your contextual research. And finally, be ambitious, but realistic. Your final piece should be ambitious enough to demonstrate genuine technical mastery, but it also needs to be completable within your supervised time. Plan your scale and your process carefully, and leave time for finishing, photographing, and final annotation. You've got this. Good luck with your portfolio, and I'll see you in the next episode. This has been your OCR GCSE Art and Design Study podcast on sculpture. Keep creating, keep questioning, and keep pushing your practice forward.